Now you could open your Bibles to the 16th chapter of John's Gospel to begin with. Chapter 16, verses 23 and 24, Jesus is speaking. He says, "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Then while you're right there in that 16th chapter, just turn back. Maybe my Bible had turned one page. Smaller Bible might have turned two if it's in the Testament. But to the 15th chapter of John's Gospel and the 7th verse. Jesus again is speaking. He said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Well, let's read that next verse. "Herein," because you see this verse goes with what he just said. "Herein is my Father glorified." In what is he glorified? "Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Now, don't take that 8th verse out of its setting and go off with it, you know. It could apply all right to other fruit. But really, what he's talking about here is bearing prayer fruit. That's really the fruit right here that he's talking about. Now then, let's turn over, please, to the book of Ephesians. And in the 3rd chapter, and we shall start with the 14th verse. The Apostle Paul says, writing to the church at Ephesus, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And then you can go on reading his prayer if you like, but I wanted to emphasize those two verses. Finally, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." Hallelujah. I'll tell you, if we just went home now, we'd be blessed from the reading of the word. You see, prayer, well, I'll put it this way. Because you're a child of God and have come into the family of God. You notice those verses there in Ephesians where Paul said, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family," I like that, don't you? "Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Praise God. Part of the family is in heaven. Part of the family is on earth. Part of the family that has been with us here on earth is now there in heaven. But we're still all the same family. So, because you are a child of God and have come into the family of God, you can now approach the Father in the name of Jesus. You'll notice that Jesus said just before he went away, just before he went to Calvary to die, to shed his blood, to be raised from the dead, to eventually ascend on high and sit down at the right hand of the Father. He said, in that day, that's the day we're living in now, you shall ask me nothing. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto, up till now, till this time, you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Praise God. So now, because that you're in the family of God, because you're a child of God, you're in the family of God, and you can approach the Father. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father. I bow my knees unto the Father, Paul said. You can approach the Father in the name of Jesus and get the guarantee that he will hear your prayer every time you pray in that name. Are you listening now? Now notice real quickly that verse there in John 15:7. Now you see, a lot of time people will grab on to one remark that you made, take it out of context, and make you say something you didn't say. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. You see, your real prayer life must be based on the Word of God. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Now notice, that's the condition. Ye shall ask what ye will. Hallelujah. And it shall be done unto you. Now if he had just said, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you, we'd just all automatically had it made, wouldn't we? But you see, there's some conditions that go along with it. Ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. You see, a real prayer life, scriptural prayer life, working prayer life, must be based on God's word. I have said this for many years. I'm going to keep on saying it. People have come and said, to me, will you pray with me about this? And they bring this request or that request or another request. Would you pray with me? Would you pray about it? Very often I have asked them, what scripture are you standing on? About 8 times out of 10, they say, well, none in particular. I said, that's what you'll get, nothing in particular. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Amen? Amen. I've said for many years, I'm going to keep on saying it. Find scriptures that promise you the things you're praying for. Then you've got a solid foundation for faith. A solid foundation for your prayer life. Praise God. And then you know you've got a solid foundation that cannot be shaken, for heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away, Jesus said. Amen. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. Now listen, you shall ask what ye will. Well, we don't say ye and thee and thou today. In other words, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Now that's an amazing statement. You stop and think about it a little bit. In the final analysis, that verse is really telling us that whether or not your prayer is heard or answered, it depends more on you than it does on God. Now, you know, just at first casual glance or listening to that, that sounds like a misnomer. But now just stop and wait a minute. He talks more about you in that verse than he does anybody, doesn't he? See, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. In that verse, 5 times you is mentioned. Who's he talking about? You. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, just write out there right beside that verse, and if you can't write in your Bible, just throw it away right now and get one you can write in. Write right beside that verse, this means me. Hallelujah. So you see, it depends more on what you do. Because you see, God, he don't ever change. I mean, he's already in the notion of hearing answered prayer. All through the Bible, Old as well as New Testament, again and again he talks about, call unto me and I'll answer you. Amen. One fellow said he liked to never talk God in the notion of hearing him. Well, you see, I don't know what God he's praying to. He sure wasn't praying to the God of the Bible, because he didn't have to get him in the notion of hearing him. He's already in the notion. Amen. He was in the notion years ago. He said way back there in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I might answer you. No. Well, there's a remote possibility of me doing so. No. Maybe I will. Now call unto me and I will answer thee. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But you see, again, there's some conditions. Amen. Jesus gives them to them here under the new covenant. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. You see, when you know the word, you know what to ask for. Hallelujah. When you know the word, you can pray in faith. Otherwise, you're praying in the dark. You see, the psalmist of old said, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The entrance of thy words giveth light. So he said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you're enlightened. You know what God's will is, for his word is his will. You know what God will do about it. Praise God before you ever ask him. Why? Because you have his word and his word's abiding in you. Amen. I tell the story sometime. I'm not going into great detail about it. I've had a similar experience any number of times. But I tell the story about the man who brought his wife to our services. Heard me preaching on the radio at a revival meeting we were holding in another city. She's given up to die by medical science. And in fact, the doctors had confided in him. We'll just be honest with you. She'll not live another 6 months. And part of that was already gone. But they heard me preaching Healy on the radio, so he brought her. And we've been praying, you know, that if it is God's will to heal her, you know, that he'll give us faith so she can be healed. I asked him if they were saved. Well, they said we're members of, and they mentioned a certain church. I said, well, you could be a member of this full gospel church and not be saved. That's not what saves you. It's being born again. Yes, we know we're born again. How'd you get saved? Well, we went to visit. Our neighbor invited us. We never went to church anywhere. But our neighbor was a member of this church right close to us, and they just kept after us until we went. It was Easter time of the year. The pastor held a week's services prior to Easter, did his own preaching. And so it was Friday night before Easter Sunday. And when he gave the invitation, this man said, I said to my wife, I'm going. She said, all right, I'll go with you. He said we were the only ones. We marched down to the front, happened to be in a Methodist church. He asked us to kneel in the altar rail. Came down off the platform, laid one hand on my head, one hand on my wife's head, and prayed with us. We got born again, praise God. I said to him, now when you got down there to that altar and knelt there, did you pray that God would give you and your wife faith so that you could be saved? Why, certainly not, he said. I said, why didn't you? Well, he said, now one thing is a little boy, my mother carried me to Sunday school and church. And then as a preacher preached, you know, it brought back to my mind scriptures. He just got through preaching that Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures. He just got through preaching that the Bible said, whosoever to call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He just got through saying that the Bible said, him that cometh unto me, I'll nowise cast him out. Said, I knew what the Lord would do before I went down there. Why? He was enlightened. What enlightened him? The Word of God. Amen? Amen. I said, amen? Amen? Now I said to him, that's exactly what I wanted you to say. Now I want to ask you this question. I'd preached it on the radio, but he still didn't get it. I said, I'm not saying the Bible said it, and I'm just using this illustration. I've done this many times. I could just stand here and tell you of illustration after illustration that comes to me. And spend all the time just doing that and still not exhaust all of them. And so I said to him, now I'm not saying the Bible said it. Of course, I knew it did, but I knew he didn't, you see. But I said, just suppose that the Bible said, not only it says, as you know, that Jesus took your sins and iniquities, himself, praise God, did take our sins and our iniquities. They were laid on him. But he also took your wife's infirmities and sicknesses and bare them. If the Bible said that, would it be his will to heal her? Well, certainly, he said. Why don't we find out what the Bible says then? So we just turn, you see, to Matthew 8:17 and Isaiah 53:4-5 and 1 Peter 2:24. And immediately read it. Both of them saw it. Well, they said, you know, there's no use to praying about the will of God. We've got that. How come they changed their tune so quickly? Light came. Amen. The entrance of his words giveth light. You see, they had been praying. He said, we've been praying every day that if it's God's will to heal her, he'd give us faith so she could be healed. But see, she didn't get healed because that's not praying according to the word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. So it doesn't work because his word does not abide in him. Are you following me? I'm only using that as an illustration. That can apply to anything else you're praying about. Now, if you can't find scriptures that cover things you're praying about, you ain't got no business asking for them. Amen? Amen. I said amen. Amen. So then, they saw what the word of God said. And so we were able to pray with them. And she was healed. When the doctors had said she had about 6 months to live. 19 years later, I was in contact with her. She's still in good health, she said. Praise God, just feeling fine. Well, God's word works. Now, I only use that as an illustration. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. The entrance of thy words giveth light. Now can you see then that if whatever it is that you are praying about, I'm talking about you as an individual, you are praying about, if you don't know what the word says on that, whatever it is, then can't you see you're not enlightened? Amen? Well, if you're not enlightened, then you're not in the light. On that particular subject, you may be in the light on some other subjects. If you're not in the light, then you're in the dark. I think some people are about halfway between the light and the dark on some things. Sort of in the twilight zone. Amen? I said amen.
Amen.
What does the word say? What does the word say? I think we need to get so word conscious, so no matter what happens, what the situation is, we'd ask ourselves, what does the word say? You know, just simply asking yourself that question and finding out what the word said. If you don't know it, if you do know, then being a doer of the word would solve most of your problems. Amen. Don't shout me down now. Just cause I'm preaching real good. Whatever you do, the Bible said, in word or deed. That covers the whole spectrum, doesn't it? Do it as unto the Lord. Praise God. Well, hallelujah. Thank God for the word. What does the word say? Everybody say that out loud.
What does the word say?
Say it again. Say it again.
What does the word say?
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. Amen. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Praise God. Well, let me say it again. Because you are a child of God and have come into the family, thank God you can approach the Father in the name of Jesus. Praise God. And you see, it's your Father. God, your Father. Now you see, he's God to a lot of people because they really don't know him as Father. You can almost tell those folks that are still over there in that unenlightened, darkened, or twilight zone, so to speak, not really ever come into the family of God. You know, they think they're being reverent, you know. And God to them, you see, and thank God he is high and holy. Praise God, lifted up. But he's not a father to them. He's still just God. You can almost tell it the way they say, Gog. Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus said, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father. Jesus came to introduce the Father to us. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. And so you see then, friends, the Father, God, that I'm coming to, stands behind this holy written word. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, he stands behind that word. He's the one that said it, praise God. And he'll keep it. Jeremiah in the King James translation, the first chapter, the 12th verse, said that God said, I will hasten my word to perform it. I look in the margin of this King James translation that I'm preaching out of, and there's a little number there by the word hasten. And I look over in the margin, and it said H-E-B. That means Hebrew. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew. Hebrew, watch over. In other words, the Hebrew, instead of saying, I will hasten my word to perform it, that means do it, says, I watch over my word. Well, either one can be correct, praise God. I watch over my word. I watch over my word to perform it. Hallelujah. Thank God he stands back of the word. I don't have to make it good. He's the one that watches over to perform it, not me. I think that's one place where so many people miss it. They think they've got to make it good. Well, you don't have to make anything good. I'm talking about the word of God. Amen. All you got to do is believe it. Somebody said, well, I don't understand it. Well, he didn't say to understand it. He said, believe it. Hallelujah. I don't understand it either. But I just believe it. Praise God and it works. Now, what does your individual prayer life mean to you? Is it just simply that at a time of great extremity or crisis, or a need, a time of great need, that you cry out to the Lord for help? Or is he an ever-present help? Hallelujah. See, there's a difference. Thank God in his great mercy he's helped us. But it's just good to know and to grow to the place that you know he's an ever-present help in the time of need. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Is life an unconscious, or is he in life, your individual life, is he an unconscious presence at your side or with you or in you? Always. Or is prayer just a part of your daily life? Do you talk to him as simply as you talk to your loved ones? I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, friends, on the ground of the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ, that means when we say the finished work, that means the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension on high of Jesus, having entered, first of all, before he ascended on high and sat down at the right hand of the Father, he went up there and entered into the heavenly holies of holies with his own blood, the writer of Hebrews tells us, to obtain an eternal redemption for us. And that's the reason these verses here in Hebrews says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points, thank God, tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come Let us therefore come arrogantly? No, no. There's a difference between being bold and arrogant. Are you listening to me? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Hallelujah. That we may obtain mercy. That we may obtain mercy. You know, you don't need mercy unless you missed it. I tell the story sometime of the fellow that went with me when I first went up to Tom Bean to preach, where I met my lovely wife. I held revival there, and I didn't have a car. This man had one, so I got him to go along, and because he played a guitar and sang, and was sort of what we call a lay preacher. He and his wife owned and ran to what we called in those days, 1938, a healthy, selfie laundry. So as we were driving up there, we'd drive up there and preach and then drive back to my hometown. You see, in other words, we went 30 miles there and 30 miles back every night. So, you know, in those days, you know, that was a pretty good trip. Not like it is today. So he was telling me one time that he had, you know, because he was just, you know, he didn't have a license ordained to preach. He just what we call a lay preacher. He'd fill in for people, you know, in more or less country churches and all. So one fellow was gone on a vacation or something, at pastor, and he was going to preach for him. And so he had worked, you know, he said every machine he had in that laundry broke down that day but one. And this was the main day that everybody came to do their laundry. And he's just working on those machines, trying to get them to go and keep them going, you know. Because just he and his wife, nobody else there to help. And so he didn't have time really to study and prepare himself. So he said he started to this church. And he had to go through a little old town before he got there. And he said he was going along trying to get something, you know, thinking about different scriptures, you know, because he hadn't prepared himself. And he didn't notice, and he ran a red light. This little town just had one red light in it. Just one signal light, you know. And he had run that, and about that time he saw another red light flashing behind him, you know. So he put, and he looked down the speedometer real quickly and noticed that he was going 35 miles an hour. And so he pulled over the curb and stopped. The policeman got out and said to him, "Do you know you run that red light back out there?" He said, "No, I never even saw a red light." Not only that, she's going 35 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone. And he said, "I was going 35 miles an hour, all right, because when I saw that light behind me, I looked at my speed up and I was going 35 miles an hour." Well, he said, "This is 25 miles an hour zone, speed zone here." Well, he said, "I'm guilty, officer. Just write me out a ticket. I'm guilty. I plead guilty." And he said, "I'll just take your word for it. I never even saw the light." He said, I'm guilty. I and he told him, you know, about all of his problems of the day, and he's going out there to preach, so on. Officer wrote him out a ticket. Well, he had to appear before the judge, municipal judge, on a certain day. So he went, and they called his case eventually. So he said, "Judge, could I just plead my own case?" Well, he said, "Yes, sir, go right ahead." He said, "Well, now, first of all, I want to tell you this much. I'm guilty." He said, my wife and I run this healthy selfie laundry. I was busy," he told him. He said, "And I just wasn't thinking. I know it's wrong. I just simply wasn't thinking. I didn't even see the light. The officer there," and the officer was there, "said, he said I did it, so he must be right. I do know I was going 35, because when I saw that red light behind me, I did look down at my speedometer, and I was going 35, and he said it's a 25-mile zone. Now, I'm guilty. But now, I want to say this to you." Now, these were depression days. Folks didn't have a lot, you know. He said, I've spent everything I had on those washing machines, buying parts to get them going. I got one nickel in my pocket. That's all I've got. And so you can find me if you want to, but I can't pay it. I'll have to serve the time out in jail or work it out." They called it, you know, the county farm. They called it the pea patch in those days. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just have to work out my fine, you see. But he said, "Judge, I'm not asking for justice, because if I get justice, I'm going to wind up in jail. I'm asking for mercy." He said to the judge, said, "You don't mind I read a little bit from the New Testament, do you?" And he pulled out his testament in his pocket. He said, "Well, no, go ahead." He was a little bit older, and so he couldn't read that. So he just said, "Well, I can't read it, and I forgot my glasses." He said, "Let me just tell you about it." He said, "There was a woman that was taken in the very act of adultery. And he said, they brought her to Jesus and said, the law says to stone her, kill her. What do you say about it? Said Jesus, said, well, let him without sin cast the first stone. Stooped down and wrote something in the sand. He looked up, everybody's gone but the woman. And he said to her, woman, why art thine accuser? She said, sir, I have none. He said, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He said, you just let me go. I ain't going to run no more red lights. I'm gonna go and sin no more. Amen. And he said, the judge said, is that in the Bible? Well, yeah, he said, I couldn't see, but now here's the testament. And he gave him the chapter and verse, said, just read it. And then the judge looked down and located it. He said, man, he said, said, I'm a Sunday school teacher. Didn't even know that was in there. I'm going to teach that next Sunday morning. Said, case dismissed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, thank God, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. I want you to hold that in your mind. We'll come back to it just in a minute. To the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy, not justice. Mercy. That's what that fellow was asking for. Have you ever had to do that? Too many times. That we may obtain mercy and grace to help. Now, somebody said, and it is the truth, but it's not all the truth. We need to realize that grace is unmerited favor. Well, of course, finding grace to help in the time of need, we didn't merit it. Hallelujah. It is unmerited favor. Right on the other hand, come up boldly to the throne of grace. One other fellow put it this way, and I liked it. He said, the throne of grace, grace here means love gifts. Come boldly to the throne of love gifts. After all, mercy and grace to help is a love gift. It's all love. Amen? Praise God. Now, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. You see, because of the finished work of Christ, we have come into the family of God, and He, God, has become our Father, and we're invited to come to the throne of love gifts. Hallelujah. Another text, here in Hebrews said, let us enter in bold into the very holiest of holies. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus. He's our Father. I bow my knees unto the Father. I'm talking about your individual prayer life. Prayer then becomes conversation between the Father and His child. There's nothing stilted. There's nothing formal about it. You simply come to know your Father as a little child comes to know his or her father, and you come, praise God, into His presence. You see, He longs, your Father longs for your companionship. He longs for your fellowship. He longs to bear your burdens. He longs to carry your burdens. Hallelujah. He longs to carry your load. I know He does. Because the Word says so. Philippians 4:6, King James said, be careful for nothing. That's blind to us. Another translation said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. Hallelujah. So, if God tells us not to fret, not to have anxiety, that means be overly anxious, then that means He doesn't want us to. Well, if He doesn't want us to be fretful and full of anxiety, what does He want us to do? But in everything. How many things?
Everything.
How many?
Everything.
Everybody say it again.
Everything.
Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank God.
Then you can't read that verse of scripture or quote it without thinking about 1 Peter 5:7, can you? Casting all your care upon the Lord, for he careth for you. That's King James translation. See, I told you he cared for you. I told you he wanted to bear your load. I told you he wanted to carry your load and bear your burdens. And the Amplified translation is even better than that. Casting the whole, well, that's all of them, isn't it? The whole of your cares, all of your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your concerns, once and for all, upon him. Now why? For he careth for you affectionately. That means he has affection for you. He loves you. And about you watchfully. Now you see, our problem is again that we all know that and quote that and just rattle it off, but not too many are as doers thereof. Amen. I said amen.
Amen.
Ken, you know, when he's about 5 years old, we was on the field in field ministry, he'd say to me again and again, "Dad, what are you going to preach tonight?" "Well, I don't know, son. I'm still praying about it, you know." But he'd say, "Preach on, loose him and let him go." I said, "Well, I've already preached that." "Well," he said, "preach it again." "Oh," I said, "I can't hear it." "Well," he said, "preach the owl sermon then." I had another to call the owl. Well, he dubbed it the owl sermon. Read it. And I said, "Well, I don't know. I've already..." Well, sometimes I'd already preached it. And he said, "Well, preach it again." And in that owl sermon, I had this illustration. I was preaching that same sermon in Bottom, Texas, in the Full Gospel Church there. And I gave one illustration, but the pastor said, "Brother," he said, "let me give you another good illustration to go along with that." He said, "I was raised up out here in the country, out from there in Fannin County, out from Bonham. Bonham's the county seat of the county. I was raised up out here on the farm, you know. And as a little boy, my daddy found a couple of baby owls in the woods. And so I don't know what had happened to the mother, but they were there, left alone. And so he brought those two owls to the barn. And they were just babies, just little things. And he said, I fed them every day. And they grew up. When they got grown, one of them stood 40 inches high. And the other one stood 38 inches high. Quite some owls, weren't they? And he said they'd come up every morning, because I fed them just outside the back door, the old farmhouse, you see. Some pan, that had a hole in it or something, you know. Mom had thrown it away, so he'd take that pan and put a rag in that hole, you know. And then he'd put scraps out there, pour some stuff, whatever, into these pans. Now, one thing about it, he said, they wouldn't eat out of one another's pan. You just put food in one pan, that one eat out of it. They wouldn't eat out of their pan, see. And then he said, they'd come there every morning, and I got up. And they'd done it from time, there's little things. But they'd always be sitting out there waiting. I mean, earliest time I ever got up, they'd always sitting out there waiting. When I'd go out with the food, they'd be sitting there, and I'd pour it into the pans. And all the time, I don't know, he said, but all the time I'm pouring out that food into those pans. They're sitting there shaking their head like that. And then he said, I'd walk off and I'd look back. As long as they can see me, they wouldn't start eating. They'd just sit there and keep doing like that. So I'd get around the corner of the house and hide, or go into the house and peep out the window. And then they'd eat. When they got through eating, he said, they'd sit there for a little bit and do their heads this way. I know I got an illustration. A lot of people come to church, hear your prayer. Oh, that's right. And then they go out and live this way. Anyway, hallelujah. I bow my knees unto the Father. 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 Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And He's our Father too. Praise God. We're in the family of God. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father, Jesus said, in My name, He will give it you. I bow my knees unto the Father, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I'm in the family of God. Hallelujah. He is my Father. Well, I said He wants to carry. He wants to bear your burdens. He wants to carry your load or loads. Casting. But you've got to do something with it. He's not going to take it away from you. Amen. Now casting all of your care. The whole of your cares. I'm talking about the individual prayer life, or the prayer life of the individual. This is something that should go on in our individual prayer life. See, a lot of times they want me to cast their cares on them, on the Lord for them. You do it for them. I can't. No one else can. I said, no one else can. They're your cares. They're not mine. I can't spend your money for me. Now, I could if you turned it over to me, but I haven't got anybody to ever turn their money over to me yet. And they probably won't. Amen. No, you see, it's yours. Casting the whole. How many of them? All are the whole. That's all of them. Of your cares. Well, now, that means that He wants me to be carefree. He wants me to be worry-free. Casting the whole of your cares, Amplified Translation, all of your worries, all of your anxieties, all of your concerns. Boy, that's just all of it. That's all there is to it, isn't it? Where are you going to cast them? On Brother Hagin? No. The pastor? No. He's got enough cares as it is. He don't need yours on top of it. On Him, the Father, the Lord, your Father. For He cares for you affectionately and about you watchfully. You know, Peter is the one that wrote that, inspired by the Spirit of God. Don't you remember? 1 Peter 5:7. Remember? Peter's the one that wrote that. Well, I'm not much on following somebody that's preaching something they're not practicing, are you? But you know, Peter must know what he's talking about. He was put in jail. And they're going to cut his head off. That's what they say they're going to do. They're going to behead him. He must have cast that on the Lord because he used to sound asleep. How many people could sleep soundly and going to be beheaded in the morning? Huh? Come on. He must have cast that on the Lord too. Because he was so sound asleep. That angel had to smote him. That means he had to smite him. That means he had to hit him. To get him up. And then he's so sound asleep that he didn't know for sure what was happening until he got outside the gate of the prison. Boy, that's sleeping, ain't it? Going to behead him the next day. Already killed one of them. Going to kill him now. That's the word they've got out. And he's sound asleep. You've got to be worry-free to be able to sleep like that. Time like that. And that little old burden you had. Yeah, but you don't know what they said about me. You don't know how awful they treated me. Oh, my. Can't sleep over it. Some little old imaginary problem sometimes. Had a fellow in my church one time, church I was pastoring. One of his favorites, sometimes, you know, in singing, worshiping God, the song leader just say, you know, now, over here in this second, your favorite chorus, just name it, and then he'd sing it, you know. And over here, your favorite chorus, and you know, they'd do that sometimes. This fella, always, I mean, boy, he is first, Johnny on the spot, you know, we say. He's all, his favorite, there's a little chorus we used to sing, you know. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? got any mountains you can't tunnel through. Our God specializes things thought impossible. And he can do what no other power can do. Glory to God. That's it. Well, that's true. That's his favorite. Oh, sing it. Yeah, and he'd sing it and he'd clap his hands and just jump up and down, even get to dancing sometimes. So wonderful. But they started home from church one night. I know because pastors, you know, a lot of times he gets involved on these family arguments. He's got to be referee or something. Try to get help them straighten out, you know. Start home, you know, just got through singing. Got any mountains, you know, any rivers you think are uncrossable. Got any mountains you can't tunnel through. God specializes in things thought impossible. Happy, jumping, dancing, shouting, talking in tongues. Got in the car and headed home. And his wife said, I don't know what the boy's name was, just called him John. Said, honey, said, Johnny needs a new pair of shoes. You think I'm made out of money? It hadn't been 90 days since we bought that kid a pair of shoes. What in the world's he doing? Before you know it, you know, they got in a family argument. You know, talking about tunneling through mountains and crossing rivers and fell over a pair of kids' shoes. Come on. Amen. Sometimes, as it said in the Old Testament, it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. But thank God you can cast all your cares upon the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Glory to God. Say it out loud. Father. Father.
You are my Father.
I have been born again.
I am born of God.
You are my very own Father.
I am
thy very own child.
I'm in the family of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Father,
I love you.
I thank you, Father,
for your great love,
wherewith you have loved us.
And you do love us.
You love me.
Hallelujah.
I thank you
for your holy written
word. The entrance of thy words giveth light.
And your word tells me,
do not fret
or have any anxiety
about anything.
Forgive me, Father,
for fretting.
Forgive me
for having anxiety
about things,
anything.
You said in your word,
but in everything,
by prayer
and supplication,
with thanksgiving,
let your request be made known
unto God.
Thou art my Father.
My Father God.
So I cast all my care,
all my concerns,
all my worries,
all my anxieties
upon you.
I'm not going to worry about it anymore.
I'm not going to be overly anxious about it anymore.
I'm not going to be overly concerned about it anymore.
You carry my load.
You bear my burdens.
I'm burden free.
Care free.
Worry free.
It's in your hands.
I leave it there.
Hallelujah.
Let's praise him now.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for ministering to our hearts, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.